I'm Frank Vaughn, and it is April 2nd, 2025, and we're going to just dive right into the show today. Last night, I did an interview with a fascinating personality named Shadow Davis. If you just look that up on YouTube or look it up on Twitter, you'll find the show. You should listen. He's got a great radio voice. Might even be better than mine. Highly enjoyable. Heck of a chat. Check it out. And before we get into the news, with it being Trump's tariff day and everything else, we await that announcement. I just want to quickly dispense with something that really triggered me this morning. This is Candace Horback. She's got 300,000 followers on Twitter, and she shares a video, and the quote is, "A woman's love language is not having to ask." And she's complaining about how her husband doesn't just do things. She has to ask him to do things, and that's a problem. But that's not what my issue is. You go through the comments section underneath this video, and there are women dunking on their husbands in public, basically throwing them under the bus. I would never do this to my wife, even if I had permission. This is because Rubenesque Dick says this woman has over 300K followers, and you're assuming she's posting this without her husband's full knowledge and consent. I never assumed that at all. That's not my issue, whether he gave permission or not. You don't dunk on your wife. You don't dunk on your husband online in public. It's supposed to be like this. You're supposed to be a team. You're supposed to work your issues out in private. What is this? I'm reading through the comments section, and people are just openly, it's mainly women, openly throwing their husbands under the bus. And it's like they're putting it online, and I'm sure half of them are doing it without their husband's knowledge. I can't even fathom this. Folks, keep your personal life personal. Your family's supposed to come number one. Your husband and wife, you're supposed to be like this. Don't just throw stuff out online declaring them faulty while you're still married to them. Like, what is this subculture tweaked me in the wrong way. My wife would never do this to me. Ever. Even if she had huge problems with me, she would never do this to me, and I'd never do it to her. It would be a betrayal of our marriage. I just don't understand it. My marriage is a back-to-back function. If I was super angry with my wife, if she infuriated me in ways that she hasn't in 18 years, I would never tell anybody about it. I'd work it out with her, because you don't do that. It's a united front. Anyway, that's just one of the subtle underminings of the institution of marriage. It kills me. Anyway, moving on with the news. Danielle Smith leaves the door open for a vote on Alberta leaving Canada. Why wouldn't she? Why wouldn't Albertans want a referendum? If Mark Carney wins the election, he has promised to not repeal the anti-pipeline bill. He's promised to keep caps on energy production and carbon emissions. He's basically promised a trade war with the United States, which will end Alberta and Saskatchewan. Why wouldn't you want to leave that door open? This is good judgment on behalf of the premier. But here's some bad judgment. I keep seeing Daniel Smith and Scott Moe to another degree. One day they got a foot out the door, and then the next day they got a foot in the door, and they're kind of playing both sides of the fence right now. This, to me, is bad judgment. It's true. Alberta and Quebec should work together more often to keep Ottawa in their lane to protect the constitutionally protected jurisdictions of our provinces. Seems reasonable, right? The problem is, this guy is about to leave office. This guy opposed pipelines through Quebec just like every other leader. Blanchett is about to become a huge block of power in the federal government, and the sovereignists are about to win provincially in Quebec, and they're campaigning on making sure pipelines and energy projects never get built. What is this that they're doing? I don't really understand what the positive is here for Danielle Smith. She's allying with a guy who's about to lose his job. And this one is just a sweet little story about how sometimes karma works out. Canadian hacker arrested for allegedly stealing data from the Texas Republican Party. The moron went on Discord and on TikTok and bragged about it. He also is famous for hacking GiveSendGo. And many in Canada might remember this guy.
Yes, I doxed the truckers. I did it. It was me. I hacked GiveSendGo, baby. And I'd do it again. I did it! I gonna do? What are you gonna do to me, huh?
See the funny way he moves? Now, the fact is, this guy grew up. Now, he's 37 years old, and I don't know. That's more in the millennial side of things. I'm right on the cusp between Generation X, so I don't know what went on 7 years after I was born that made people weird. He kind of looks like one of those standard Warcraft animations, like when you're in a video game, the character's always moving back and forth. So maybe he's memeing that. But in my mind, he kind of just looks psychopathic. But there's nothing like doing something incredibly illegal, breaking into a secure infrastructure and stealing data, going online and saying you do it again 100 times and indicating that you're proud of it. If you're going to break the law, if you're going to do something devious and dark like this, care more about the outcome than having public attention. One of the principal ways that criminals get in trouble is they want to be seen. They want to know that their illegal feat occurred at their hands. And he asked the question, what are you going to do? They're going to put him in jail for a very long time. Moving on to Saskatchewan, I can unequivocally say, in spite of the fact that I am sometimes critical and sometimes celebratory of all political leaders in this country, of all the premiers that I have ever lived under, the Saskatchewan Party and Scott Moe is the best of the crop. The announcement is Happy Carbon Tax Freedom Day, Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan is the first province in Canada to be carbon tax free. The small rebellion, illegal rebellion against the carbon tax by unilaterally taking it off home heating has now expanded into a complete removal of the carbon tax. And why do I say expanded? Why do I say illegal? Because the law that created the carbon tax is still on the books. The charade that Mark Carney has gone through for the purposes of the election doesn't actually remove it. Saskatchewan is moving forward with its rebellion and taking it to the next level. This is a good thing. Unfortunately, the unilateral removal of the carbon tax in Saskatchewan cannot save Canadians from having their faces rubbed in the dirt yet again. MPs get annual April Fool's Day pay raise. But poll says Canadians aren't laughing. There was surprisingly little press on this yesterday. I would have thought there would have been more hoopla. I would have thought Twitter would have been afire having conversations about this. Because of all the days, 365 of them, and sometimes 366, that they could pick to legislatively guarantee themselves a pay raise, they picked April Fool's Day because they think you, the public, are fools. A backbench MP will now make $209,000, up from $203,000 in 2024. That's in addition to Parliament catering and expenses that they get. This is just the raw wage. The Prime Minister will now make $419,000. Yes, that's Mark Carney, somebody who doesn't really need any more money. He is an oligarch. He's ran two central banks. He has ran one of the largest asset managers in the world. The headline reads, Pipeline Paradox, Brookfield to buy U.S. pipeline giant as Carney refuses to repeal Bill C-69, the pipeline ban. Now, people on the left, they love to just shrug their shoulders and make excuses for this, just like the guy who advocated for his opponent in an election to be handed over to Chinese authorities for a $1 million bounty. In the morning, Carney said he was sorry and he'll continue his campaign, only to throw him under the bus a few hours later. Carney would have been aware of the negotiations to acquire Colonial Pipeline while he was still at Brookfield. This is recent history, not ancient history. So while they were negotiating to buy toll roads in India, which we've talked about on this channel, they're also negotiating to buy pipelines. Carney, under Bill C-69, which he won't repeal, bans tanker traffic on the West Coast and bans new pipelines. So I'm not really sure how he's going to deliver on his promise of energy independence, of creating a fortress Canada to fight the United States, if he's not willing to build new infrastructure. This is in addition to the roadblock that Quebec represents. So the Constitution can be used to overrule Quebec, if Quebec doesn't leave over it, but there's no political will in the Liberal Party to repeal the laws that prevent the development of energy infrastructure right here in Canada. Meanwhile, these guys are going around the world investing in fossil fuels everywhere. Newsflash, Gilboa owns Suncor shares in blind trust portfolio called the CPP. Now, this is about the outrage surrounding Pierre Poilievre and some of the investments that he holds. Environment Minister Stephen Gilboa owns shares of Calgary-based Suncor Energy in his investment portfolio, and so does Prime Minister Mark Carney and Justin Trudeau and every single Canadian. We've talked about this. The CPP is investing in beachfront property in a world that's supposedly about to drown because of climate change and rising sea levels. They're taking your money at the point of a gun because that's what it is. The CPP is a tax. The authority of the state backs that tax. You can't get out of it by typical means if you're a wagee. You just have to pay it. You can't transfer it to your kids. You can't transfer it to your spouse. You can't make withdrawals. They're seizing it from you, and the courts have found that the CPP is indeed a tax. Now, you might have some entitlements down the road, but there's a whole lot of people, a whole lot of what we used to call patronage positions, that are making an awful lot of money using your dollars. And the CPP has no problem investing in oil projects. They have no problem investing all over the world in fossil fuel burning, consuming business. And yet these guys, they want a virtue signal about being about the environment. I talked about how Gilboa basically defrauded the Canadian taxpayer to funnel $250 million into a company he owned. The Liberal government that has ran this country into the ground is one of the most corrupt in Canadian history. It may be the most corrupt, and it hasn't changed fundamentally because they have swapped in a new leader. If anything, Mark Carney, who was a close advisor to Justin Trudeau, Chrystia Freeland, and all the other top brain trust, can we call it a brain trust, in the Liberal Party, he's been there every step of the way. And now, coming in and being parachuted in a leadership bid where a quarter million people were disenfranchised, one of the most fraudulent fake news elections I've ever seen for a political party, it formalizes who runs Canada. The World Economic Forum and these globalists who want to continue turning Canada into a resource colony, into a hub for everybody else. There's no sovereignty on the table here. They talk about creating a sovereign and strong Canada. If you're not willing to repeal Bill C-69, you're not willing to even start the process of creating a sovereign Canada. We have so many problems here. We've been gutted in so many ways that everything they're saying about repairing Canada is pure fake news, virtue signaling. They can't do it. I don't even know if Poilievre can do it. But Poilievre is the only choice in this election. While Mark Carney can barely fill out a bar, they're trying to make this sound like a movement, that Carney mania is a real thing. And I love how the Liberals always go back to Ignatieff mania, Carney mania, Dion mania, which was probably the least credible of the bunch. I mean, Stefan Dion, come on. There's maybe 30 or 40 people waiting outside of this bar, including staff and everybody else. What do you think the permit capacity for this pub actually is? This is what Mark Carney draws. And with all the hoopla and fanfare of Maxime Bernier going on his Throw Canada Under the Bus tour down in the United States, appearing on shows that have millions of subscribers, he's now back in Canada speaking to tens of people, going to rallies with a dozen or two. It doesn't translate because he's a known quantity here in Canada. He can't win. He won't win. They're not going to get a single seat yet again. There is no point voting for them. If you support the PPC, if you genuinely want to see a growing new option here in Canada, you should be supporting the Conservative Party of Canada, because until the Conservative Party gets its chance in government and either succeeds or discredits yourself, there is no political room. The last opportunity we had was 2019, Maxime Bernier's leadership ensured that that turned into nothing. He had the godsend politically of COVID in 2021, and it created a protest bump for him, which has now completely deflated. In spite of him triggering his own arrest, which was a PR stunt, folks, he flew into Manitoba knowing full well what was about to happen to him. He advertised exactly where he was going. He knew what the RCMP was going to do. The RCMP told him ahead of time that he'd be arrested, and he did it because he knew that among his serfs, among the suckers that still support the PPC, they would love the circus. It didn't hurt him at all. His fines were paid, his legal costs were covered, and the PPC fattened its coffers with donations as a result of this. All the other people who followed in his footsteps, for instance, Saskatchewan's own Mark Friesen, how many different fines did he get? The guy is financially wrecked now. Do you think Bernier stepped up to help him pay his legal expenses? I've never heard of it. And there are dozens of other people that followed in Maxime's example here. Maxime got paid to do this, not just by these donations. I mean, he was collecting a wage the entire time. His expenses for doing this virtue signaling were covered by the donors. This was pure PR. It was very good for business. Another little thing about Bernier that I find interesting is we know there's articles out there written about how there are prominent liberals who donate the maximum allowable to the PPC. But it's how he performs in the polls. The obvious thing is they're always in the basement. They're always within the margin of error, and that's where they're going to stay. There will be a huge movement to try and at least get the CPC into office because it's the only vote. It's the only way to get the Liberals out of power. It's the only way to advance the conversation on the right. They've earned their chance to govern. But I digress. The two polling houses that treat the PPC the best are the same polling houses that hyperinflate Liberal numbers. Look at this. Do you actually believe that Mark Carney is sitting at 47.7% right now? This is Nick Nanos. ICOS shows the PPC, they published one poll showing them winning three seats. It's not happening. ICOS shows the Liberals winning Alberta in some of their quote-unquote work. It is mind-bogglingly stupefying that they expect the public to lap this up. But maybe it's not about that. Maybe it's about inflating the polling or the seat count averages on aggregators like 338 that still continue to include Nanos and ICOS in their research. I mean, Frank Graves is on another planet. Why is anybody even including them in the averages? But both companies always show Bernier with almost twice the support that he actually has in the other polls. I find that interesting. Now, if you've been watching my channel for any amount of time, you know that I have a lot of convoluted rules about my content. No advertising, no sponsorships, none of this stuff. But I also do my best not to mislead people, and I try to drive at the truth. But I do leave little traps that I'm hoping people will fall in my videos. And I am always disappointed when nobody challenges the things that I expect them to challenge. But I finally had somebody take a bite. They shared this article, Bernier Pulls Book That Accuses Scheer of Using Fake Conservatives to Win Leadership. This is what I'm talking about. People don't know history. I'm always trying to show people history so that I can expand their memory and knowledge of how we arrived at the place we're at, because you cannot understand the present if you don't understand the past. And you have to go back to the leadership bid where Bernier, quote-unquote, lost the leadership bid with the CPC. So this book, I've been talking about this book and how this book doesn't exist. So this person pulled this article and shared it with me. And in it, earlier this month, Bernier publicly released a chapter of the book which accused conservative leader Andrew Scheer of winning the party's leadership race with support of fake conservatives, supply management people, dairy people. The reason Bernier cannot win in the Bows anymore is because he won that seat with the help of the dairy lobby, and then he turned on them, and they will never elect him again. He will lose the Bows once again in this upcoming election. Bernier says, I realize that whatever I write It will always be interpreted as me creating division and challenging our leader. After consideration for the sake of maintaining harmony within our party, I have decided to postpone its publication indefinitely. The person who shared this with me said he did the noble thing. He did the right thing. I just want you to note the date on the article. This is April 18th. That's the fourth month of the year. In August, which is the ninth month of the year, if my math is right, actually, no, I think it's the eighth month. It's the eighth month of the year. So 4 months later, Bernier, Mr. I want to preserve harmony within the CPC. I don't wish to undermine our leader. 4 months later, in the middle of the Conservative Party convention, quits and does a live stream announcing it to undermine Andrew Scheer. That's August of 2018. Now, you would think a political leader who had a book finished, who was founding a new party and wanted to become prime minister, would immediately publish that book if it existed. But that book never existed. This whole farce was a manufactured, just like the arrest in Manitoba, just like some of the things I've highlighted on this channel. This was narrative creation to sow discord. This chapter was about undermining the party. It wasn't even a chapter. I doubt Bernier even wrote it. The book doesn't exist. Why wouldn't Bernier, in light of recent events, publish a book? Everybody else does. If he wrote it himself, as he claimed, he should have published it. Trudeau's got a book. Many of these leaders have books. It's a very useful thing to have a book. The book never existed. Now, there is a whole segment I wanted to do, but it's going to take a bit more time on how government funding of the media indirectly impacts what's on your smartphones and how smartphones are melting your minds, but we'll have to do that later. I want to note this, though. I don't like bandwagoning. I rarely ever talk about Rachel Gilmore as much as she invites it on herself. She's a very partisan and very biased, I would call her a commentator. She self-defines herself as a journalist. I don't think that's appropriate. I don't really, if I'm a journalist, it's a secondary thing. I'm mainly a commentator. Many people would argue I have a bias. That's fine. I just try to pursue the truth. Rachel's bias is always prevalent in her work. So she finally got a mainstream media gig again. CTV hired her as a fact checker. What could go wrong? It lasted one segment before she got fired. I'm devastated, but I'm also angry. I'm angry because this is an attack on press freedom. If opportunities can be stripped from journalists simply because enough people repeat the same bad faith narrative, how can anyone withstand the career impact of doing work that matters? Rachel, honey, you're not the press. You're a commentator. You are so one-sided. If opportunities can be stripped from journalists, you take no responsibility for the situation that you find yourself in. You are the architect of your own demise in the mainstream media because you're too extreme. To the leftward side of the spectrum, you speak well. You present well. If you brought yourself to the middle and actually dedicated yourself to the facts and not the talking points, you could probably do very well. This is going to keep happening to you until you take personal responsibility for the things that happen to you and for the work that you put out there that is so partisan and biased. So there is some justice in this, but I almost feel bad for her because I genuinely believe that she's not self-aware enough to understand how narrative-based her own work is. And that, my friends, is it for today. Thank you so much for everything that you people do to make our channel grow. Because without ads and without the reach that they give, it's all down to you. The time that you put in watching, and I hope I don't waste it, the shares that you give, the likes that you give, the comments that you give, the engagement, and those of you who donate and make it potentially financially viable as we go forward into the future. I'll just keep doing this for the rest of my life. I was thinking about this last night. What is retirement? What does retirement mean? I'm going to turn 45 this year. Retirement is typically thought of at 65 years old. I don't think I'm ever going to retire. I think I want to keep busy until I'm back in the ground. But either way, you guys are what make this happen. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.